And thank you for this water, Brother Cook. Paul and Silas here were in Philippi. It was the second missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. We remember the first missionary journey was with Barnabas and John Mark, and John Mark left the scene, and Barnabas wanted to take John Mark again, but Paul said, no, he quit, and the Bible says that the contention between them was so sharp that they couldn't even speak one to another. By the way, that's two of the greatest Christians you've ever met in your life, is Paul and Barnabas. The devil gets in there, but here's the thing. You know what God did was God took it and multiplied his ministry. Amen. God doubled his ministry. So here, Paul and Silas, they come to Philippi, and they've just won a woman named Lydia to the Lord. The Bible says that God opened her heart, praise the Lord. And then they just dealt with a demon-possessed girl, and they cured her. They cast the demon out. And as we said Sunday, her employers got upset because when the demon left, so did the tarot cards and the Ouija boards and the astrology, and consequently the money left too. So they were upset, and they came to the Roman magistrates. They said, hey, listen, these Jews, they're troubling our city. And they're teaching customs that are not lawful, which none of that was true, by the way. They made it up, amen. And by the way, that's coming. That's coming around the bend. There's one group that stands against evil, and it's the Church of the Living God. And we have to take hard stands sometimes. But listen, we say what the Bible says, like it or lump it. Now again, by the way, that doesn't give you an excuse, forgive me, for being a jerk. Amen? We're to preach the truth in love, the Bible says. Preach the truth in love. Now, if you can't do that, please pray, amen, for those that preach the truth, that they preach it in love. But Paul and Silas here, they're cast into prison. And the Bible says in verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them. That's a lot of lashes with the whip. God didn't put many in there because he needed to fill space. They were literally beaten. The Roman custom was 39 lashes, Brother Horst. They thought 40 would kill a man. So 39. And here they're beaten, and they're charged. They charge the prison, the person in charge of the prison, to keep them safely. So he doesn't put them in any outer cells. He puts them in the bowels of the prison, that inner part. And I can only imagine what that was like, Brother Boston. The filth inside the inner part of the prison. But look at verse 25. By the way, a great study on what happened in the Bible at midnight. Look up all the times you've got a Bible program. Look it up. All the things that happened at midnight. It's a neat, neat story. Neat, neat series. It says, and at midnight, wait a second, they've just been beaten. They've just been cast into the inner part of the prison. By the way, just another day at the office for Paul. Amen. When he came to town, he didn't look for the Super 8 or the Motel 6. He looked for the synagogue. And while he was going to the synagogue, he looked around and said, where's the nearest jail? I'll be there soon. Amen. Look what it says in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. By the way, it's a great example there of public prayer. Some people say, oh, you can't pray in public. Fooey. It says they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They heard them. They prayed and sang praises unto God. How could they do this? Pastor John, they've just been arrested for no good reason. They've just been put in the prison. They've just been beaten. How could they do it? They were thankful. That's how. They were thankful. Simple outline tonight. Three things that they were thankful for. Verse 25, they were thankful for what God had done. They were thankful for what God had done. You see, I believe Paul and Silas remembered the day that God saved them. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. Let me tell you something else, honestly, and I mean this with everything in me. Don't take somebody else's word for it. You should remember the day God moved in. You should listen, and I understand that at five, is there really a lot to change, Brother Jones? There's probably a lot to change if you get saved at five. But listen, when I got saved at 23, there was a lot to change, and God did the changing. Amen. Any man being Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. I think they were thankful that God saved them. Here they were. They were missionaries. I think they were thankful, Miss Prine, that God called them to go out and reach a lost world. By the way, listen, I enjoy sports. You know that. I like this and that. But I want my children's heroes to be missionaries. Because you know what? They are heroes. They are heroes. The Bible says in Acts that they've hazarded their life for the gospel's sake. I'm going to tell you, I'm blessed that we have three right here in our church, all here tonight, by the way. Amen. The family's here tonight. I'm blessed by that. I talked to our deacons, and we're going to talk to our missionary committee coming up here. I said, you know what? I'd like to give our missionaries a raise. Our missionaries right here out of our church. Amen. They're heroes. I think they looked and said that they were thankful for what God had done. God had saved them. God had called them. God had provided for them. God had provided for them. They were thankful for that. Hey, I hope you can go back to a time in your life where you needed something from the Lord. And He came through. Amen? And He came through. R.A. Torrey said, if I go to a hole in the wall and I ask for biscuits and gravy and biscuits and gravy come out, I've got a right to believe there's somebody on the other side of that wall that's listening to me and providing for me. How much more is it with our God? Amen. I believe they looked and here they were in prison and probably the blood still dripping from their wounds. They said, hey, we're going to sing praises unto Him. We're thankful for Him saving us and calling us and providing for us and guiding us. God guides His children. God guides. Listen, you're looking at a sinner saved by grace. That's what I am. That's all I am. A sinner saved by grace. But God guided me to Jackson, Michigan. I never heard of Jackson, Michigan. I never been here in my life before last year. God guided me. You think I ought to be thankful for that? Amen. You and your different sphere of life, how God has guided you. Oh, how you ought to thank Him for that. And then something else that God had done. God stood in their place on Calvary, didn't He? God substituted Himself for us. Ladies and gentlemen, never forget that on Thanksgiving or at any other time of the year that Jesus Christ died for you in your place because you were a sinner on your way to hell. They were thankful for what God had done. Secondly, they were thankful for what God was doing. Our verse from Sunday night is being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You see, they recognized as they were singing praises and giving thanks that it was God that put them there in the prison. Ladies and gentlemen, if we could get out of ourselves, if we could, as that term goes, I don't necessarily like the term, but think outside the box a little bit and see that God is not doing things to us, He's doing things for us and helping us to glorify His name, we'd be more thankful. Mancy mentioned her illness tonight. Listen, the pain that lady endures on a weekly basis is beyond most of us. But she sees how God is using that in her life to draw her closer to Him. And listen, I know many of you pray for your preacher, but I can promise you there is one person beyond a doubt I know that prays for their preacher, and that's Nancy Horsch. I know many of you do. Amen. But God is allowing things in our life, and we ought to be thankful for what He's doing. God used them there, here, in Acts chapter 16. God was with them there. For He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Mrs. Holy, I don't like hearing you have that word I can't pronounce. I don't like hearing that. But you know, God didn't forsake you. God hadn't left you. God's going to be with you every step of the way, just like He was here. God put them there, used them there. He was with them there. They were in God's will. Right in the middle of God's will. Did you know the Bible says, and this is the will of God, that ye give thanks? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Are you thankful for where you are? Are you thankful that God is using you? They were thankful for what God had done. They were thankful for what God was doing. And I believe that as they were sitting there and praying and singing praises to Him, they were thankful for what God was going to do. What God was going to do. It says, and the prisoners heard them. By the way, because of what God had done and what God was doing, they could be thankful and pray, believing that God would hear and answer them in a mighty way. I love this little poem. We can either pray and believe and receive, or pray and doubt and go without. Let me say that again. We can either pray and believe and receive, or pray and doubt and go without. God wants to do greater things than we could ever imagine, ladies and gentlemen, in our lives. Brother Tom mentioned he's had incredible opportunities to witness. Listen, he told me the story last week. He got to witness to a Muslim lady because a machine was down. And the machine stayed down long enough for him to get through the whole plan of salvation, and then the machine came up. How about that? Amen? Listen, if you're thankful for what God's done, and you're thankful for what He's doing, hey, how much more thankful can we be than what He's going to do? He's going to do. Wow. A thankful heart is not only the greatest of all virtues, but the parent of all other virtues. Let me say that again. A thankful heart is not only the greatest of all virtues, but the parent of all other virtues. You see, if you've got a thankful heart, so many things spring from that. If you've got a bitter heart, so many things spring from that. Amen? Any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, Hebrews 12:15 says. But you know, while it may be the parent of all virtues, can I say this, and I'm almost finished. It's a vanishing virtue. It's a vanishing virtue. You know, when you're griping, it's because you're not grateful. Let me try that again. That was really weak. When you're griping, hang on. When I point one at you, don't worry. There's three coming right back at me. Amen? I could have a mirror right now and preach this to myself. When you're griping, it's because you're not grateful of what God has done in your life, is doing, and is going to do. Listen, you're God's child. He loves you with an everlasting love. But this vanishing virtue, I see it in the younger generation, but I see it amongst God's people too. A vanishing virtue that when we start to gripe, we act like God died. Listen, God's alive. God's on His throne. God hadn't forsaken you. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. We mentioned it already. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot to be thankful for. You mentioned your family. I mentioned it tonight. You know, my little one-year-old boy could be paralyzed right now. He could have broken his neck falling down the stairs. Listen, you're looking at a preacher who knows he needs to be grateful. As far as I know, my health is good. I ought to be thankful for that. As far as I know, my mom is saved, and she's what I have. My wife is saved, and my children are safe in the grace of God and healthy. Oh my goodness, yes, 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 thank God for that. But most of all, thank God for Calvary. Don't just keep it to yourself. If we're really thankful, you know what? We want to share the bountiful blessings. What good is the big Thanksgiving feast if it's just you there cutting it and... No, you want to share it with people. You want to share it with your family. You want to share it with your friends. Share it with your neighbors. Hey, listen, if we're truly a thankful people, let's share Jesus with somebody. He's their only hope. Listen, they were thankful for what God had done. They were thankful for what God was doing, and they were thankful for what God was going to do. Two questions, and I'm done. Are you grateful or gripeful? Are you thankful more than you gripe, or do you gripe more than you thankful? Listen, well, Pastor, you don't understand. You're right. I'm only 38. I'm not 65, 75, and where everything aches every time I get up. I understand there's a lot more. But listen, God wants you to be grateful. I say that on the authority of the Word of God. God wants you to be grateful. Last question. Has the virtue of gratitude done a vanishing act in your life? If it has, listen, the altar's open. Maybe you just want to come and thank God for His goodness in your life. I pray you do it as we have our invitation time. Father,